The World Health Organization, the WHO, launched an emergency yellow fever vaccination campaign in the East African countries of Angola and the Democratic Republic of Congo over the weekend after an outbreak of the viral hemorrhagic disease yellow fever. It sickened thousands and killed upwards of 400 people so far this year. The outbreak has revealed a worldwide shortage of the yellow fever vaccine. A 5-to-1 diluted dose protocol to deal with the shortage provides protection from yellow fever for 12 months versus a full dose, which lasts a lifetime. There is no cure for yellow fever. Dr. William Moss is professor of epidemiology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health and head of epidemiology at the International Vaccine Access Center. Dr. Moss, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you. My pleasure.
So what is yellow fever? How does it differ from malaria? And again, mosquitoes are the culprit. What can we do to control it?
As you suggested, yellow fever is caused by a virus, yellow fever virus, whereas malaria is caused by a parasite, Plasmodium. And in fact, the mosquitoes that transmit both of these diseases are quite different. Yellow fever is transmitted by a mosquito called Aedes aegypti, the same mosquito that's received a lot of attention recently. It transmits Zika virus, as well as dengue and chikungunya. Whereas malaria is transmitted by female Anopheles mosquitoes. But fortunately for yellow fever, we have a highly effective vaccine that was developed back in the 1930s. It's what we call an attenuated viral vaccine. These vaccines have different concentrations of the attenuated virus within them, really provide lifetime protection. And there's fairly good evidence that by diluting and decreasing the amount of virus, you can at least provide short-term protection. The problem, as you know, with the recent outbreak has been a shortage of the vaccine.
I guess, you know, I'm not a doctor, but we've got numbers that could rise very, very quickly. The numbers of available vaccine are low and the dilution is short-term. I mean, we could be facing this exactly again in a year.
It is a tricky situation where you can't really predict what the next outbreak is going to be, how large it is. You can prepare for worst case scenarios, but that can be expensive. We need to certainly do better as a public health community. I think we could have larger stocks of yellow fever vaccine. We can try to anticipate these outbreaks. This could have been anticipated, but Angola hadn't had a yellow fever outbreak in several decades.
And some people think of the Earth as an organism in and of itself. The stockpiles of vaccines are a kind of an immune system. If anyone's seen anyone die of hemorrhagic disease, like yellow fever or some of the other closely related diseases, I mean, it just seems like cost should be no object here.
Right, but it is obviously in trying to garner the resources to manufacture these vaccines. Yellow fever vaccine, it's not a big profit maker for the vaccine manufacturers. The populations often affected by yellow fever, these outbreaks, as we've seen recently, are relatively poor countries. It's not going to be profit making. So we do need mechanisms to be able to finance and provide vaccines. Now, organizations such as UNICEF and Gavi and the World Health Organization try to garner the resources from the richer countries in order to provide vaccines to poor countries and prevent such outbreaks. There are many countries in West Africa, for example, that routinely provide yellow fever vaccine to their children and try to achieve a level of immunity in the population. I think we've seen some breakdown in the system. People have been able to travel from Angola to other countries. I know there's been particular concern about China, where yellow fever virus could be introduced into areas where it previously had not been.
Dr. William Moss is professor of epidemiology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, and he's head of epidemiology at the International Vaccine Access Center. Dr. Moss, thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.